You're listening to the Park Avenue United Methodist Church podcast. This sermon was delivered by our pastor, Reverend David Gilmore, during a recent worship service in New York City. We invite you to listen with an open heart.
So if you haven't guessed by now, this is a little different Sunday. Just a skunch. I want to make sure that I acknowledge one of the most vital elements of our worship, of the life of our church, and those are our young people. You missed it. I get the best seat in the house. When Penny was reading the last passage of Scripture, there were children up there with her that were supporting her while she was doing that. That made my heart sing. That made my heart sing. Ooh, this is going to be a rough one. Please repeat after me. There is a word from God today. And it's for me. Will you pray with me and pray for me? Oh God, I pause right now, thanking you for one more opportunity to proclaim your word. And I ask that on this day, you save me from me. Hide me, O God, in the shadow of the cross, and allow me to preach your word, unafraid and unashamed. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lost in Translation. A film titled Lost in Translation was released, believe it or not, 22 years ago, and it starred Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson. This movie tells the story of two individuals who are traveling in a foreign country and attempting to find meaning and direction for their lives while they're traveling. Lost in Translation provides us, the audience, with translation issues at several different stages. There are translation issues between different nationalities. There are translation issues between different cultures. There are translation issues between different genders. There's even a translation issue which is generational. And as the movie progresses in some form or fashion, these translation issues are overcome in some form or fashion. However, the predicament or puzzle which is never answered in the movie is, how do I translate the meaning or purpose of life? I mean, how do I translate or interpret the stuff in my life that's into something that is going to provide meaning or insight or direction? If that still has gone over someone's head, how about this one? Where is the relevance? What is the purpose? I enjoyed the movie. However, as the movie ended, did any of y'all ever see the movie? Okay. So I think y'all that have seen it, you're going to understand what I'm about to say. As the movie ended, I was lost in translation. Because the answer of how to find something that provides meaning or insight or direction or relevance was left unanswered. The feelings that I experienced with this movie reminded me when I was younger of how I often felt when issues arose in my life. I'm talking about being lost in translation. I knew that there was an answer to my problem. I knew it. The problem was finding the answer in the midst of my problem. I knew that there was something I was supposed to be doing. The problem was discovering and or discerning the thing I was supposed to do in the midst of all the things that I was doing. I know that I'm the only one listening to this today who has ever felt adrift or rudderless or without direction or purpose in our life. I know that. I was lost in translation, and it seemed like the harder I tried to find myself, the worse off I often found myself. I said, the harder I tried to work it out, the harder I got worked out. Did that go by somebody? I had a translation issue. And when I observe what is occurring in the world today, I believe that we are surrounded by a whole bunch of folks who are truly lost in translation. When I hear about a father in Washington accused of, by the police, of murdering his three daughters, ages 9, 8, and 5, we are lost in translation. When I hear about Diddy Freakoffs and the end of a warped bromance coming out of the White House, more often than I hear about children who are starving on the street or our siblings, our immigrant siblings who are being deported, we're lost in translation. And when I read that in the past month, we have experienced the nightmare of 25 deaths and 117 wounded in mass shootings across our country, yet witness lawmakers refusing to heed the voice of the people and pass laws that might prevent another tragedy at a movie theater in Colorado, or Sikh temple in Wisconsin, or elementary school in Connecticut, or a nightclub in Orlando, or a concert in Las Vegas, or a Walmart in El Paso, or even a church in Charleston. We are lost in translation. However, we do in fact have a Pentecost word from God today. We do not have to be lost in translation any longer, because God has gifted us with a translator who speaks at every level and to every circumstance. We do not have to be lost in translation any longer, because Jesus left us with an interpreter who is speaking to our heart, soul, and mind. All we've got to do is open our hearts and open our minds and open our ears. And if we want to get to know this translator, there are two things that we must do. You ready? Two things. Be in the right place and be in the right space. Be in the right place and be in the right space. So if someone is listening today and you're looking for a translator or an interpreter who will make sense out of your nonsense, today is your special day, because you are in the right place, and God willing, you'll be in the right space. The lesson today provides the introduction to one of the most famous days in the history of the church. This is, in fact, the birthday of the Christian church. And on this day, approximately, and I think it was a low estimate, they say 3,000 people were added to the rolls. Think about that for a minute. 3,000. How many church services would we have to have? 3,000. 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ on this day. Prior to today's passage of scripture, Jesus has told his disciples that it's time for him to return to God, but that they are not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. If we read a little further, we hear that when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Well, we don't know exactly how many theys there were, but we do know that there were some theys. These theys were frightened because their master Jesus has left them. These theys were frightened because the Roman government and the Jewish religious establishment were determined to squelch the followers of this troublemaker named Jesus. In our story, it's not a good time to be a they. And some of us theys today may be able to relate to the theys in our story. We who call ourselves Christian know that what we are supposed to do, carrying the light of Jesus out into a dark world. We know what we're supposed to do for our siblings, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and visiting those in prison and caring for widows and orphans and immigrants and queer and black and brown and Asian and American Indian and Anglo and every other one of our least, last, and lost who have not yet been named. We know what we're supposed to do, going out and making disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. But if we do not have what we need, then this is a truly frightening prospect. What I'm saying is that we're called to act in the name of Jesus, but our fear often drives us to inaction, or as I once heard it said, existing as Christian couch potatoes. No, saints, these fear-filled followers of Jesus knew that they had to be in the right place, and that was together. I said together. Make no mistake, there is strength in numbers, followers of Christ. Jesus sent his disciples out not one by one, but two by two. When Jesus was about to leave, he commanded them to wait, not alone, but together in Jerusalem. Too many of us are unable to receive a translation or interpretation in our life because we are in the wrong place to receive it. Let me say this right now. We cannot expect to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit while we're being baptized by too many other things. I'm about to get in some folks' kitchens. We cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit if we're being baptized by too much alcohol or an overindulgence in prescription medications or some AI fantasy. Too many of us are lost in translation because we're in the wrong place for a translation. I love to dance. I really love to dance. Kamiko, I'm sorry I haven't taken you dancing. I know she's watching. But my translation does not come at a nightclub. I love to listen to October London and Beyonce and Eric Clapton, Van Halen. I enjoy listening to these guitar heroes. I enjoy listening. But my translation does not come at a concert. I love watching sporting events. But my translation does not come at a Chiefs game or a Mets game. And since we have some Yankee fans here, a Yankees game. We are lost in translation. If we want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, then we need to be in a place we know the Holy Spirit abides. I'm talking about being in a place where praises are raised up to the heavens. I'm talking about being in a place where God, the architect of the universe, is glorified and exalted. I'm talking about being in a place where the broken know they can come to be fixed, where the lost know they can come and feel like they're found, where those that the world has labeled trash can come, believing that they are treasured in the eyes of God. I'm talking about a place where we can find a word of hope and find a word of peace and find a word of joy, yes, even in the midst of our sorrow. Talking about a faith community that is a hospital for sinners. I'm talking about a faith community that is a body shop for souls under construction. Y'all like that? I'm talking about a faith community that comes together to lift one another up in the name of Jesus. If we want the right translation, we need to be in the right place. Now, in addition to being in the right place, we have to be in the right space. These disciples were frightened. But more than that, they were expecting something to happen, even in the midst of their fear. These fear-filled followers did not know what was going to happen, but their feeble faith was strong enough for them to wait expectantly for the promise of the Father. This is a teaching point right here. These followers of Jesus did not know what the promise of God was going to do, but they knew that they had to wait because the promise had been made. I'm not going to shout. They knew that they were supposed to wait. They didn't know what was going to happen with the promise, but they knew that they could not do what Jesus had commanded them without it. I often wonder what kind of world we would live in if the body of Christ actually waited for the baptism of the Holy Spirit before we tried saving the world. I mean, how globalistic rather than nationalistic would our belief sets truly be if we would just wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The scriptures tell us that when these expectant believers were baptized, they began speaking in the languages of all the peoples around them. Let me say it another way. Once the Holy Spirit had baptized these expectant followers, they were able to communicate with every person from every neighborhood, from every social background, from every economic background, from every educational background, from every race, from every nationality, from every ethnicity, from every culture, from every age, and from every gender and pronoun. When we are in the right space, expecting the promise of God, we will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive power that we never, ever, ever experienced before. When we are in the right space, there are no issues with translations because all of us will speak the same language, and that language is love. When we are in the right space, we are covered in the power of the Holy Spirit, and jealousy or lies or deceit or ignorance or hatred cannot and will not bring us down. When we are covered in the power of the Holy Spirit, sickness cannot bring us down. Gossip cannot bring us down. The death of loved ones cannot bring us down. The world trying to minimize and ostracize and other us cannot bring us down. I wish that there were some folks here who might remember when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit and discovered that power that you had never known before. I wish that there were witnesses who remember that unknown power that brought you out of the ditch that the world had dug for you, that remember the power that delivered you from the trap that the world had set for you. Yes, saints. Too many of us are lost in translation because we're in the wrong place and the wrong space. But when we get it right, the promise is that something wonderful is going to happen in our life when we come together as the body of Christ, expecting and trusting Jesus to keep his promise. Then we are empowered to become translators for the world. And this truly is the miracle of Pentecost. Now, I'm almost done. There's a parade today, right? All right, I'm gonna get you out of here. But as I close, we need to recognize the true miracle of Pentecost. The miracle was not in the sound that was like that of a rushing wind or in the tongues of fire. The miracle of Pentecost was in the proclamation or the testimony of those who call themselves followers of Christ. You know, when we become baptized in the Holy Spirit, we cannot keep it to ourselves. We've got to tell somebody about Jesus. Somebody. Let me say this another way. When we are changed or empowered by the Holy Spirit, we've got to tell somebody about that body who came and saw about this nobody so that we can tell everybody. After the disciples began to speak in these different languages, some of the good church people, because they were good church people, looked down their collective notes, and they claimed that these Holy Spirit-filled saints were filled with new wine. They were under the influence. I used to say when I was a little younger, they were on that oil. It was then that Peter stands up and he begins to testify or to witness to everyone who could hear his voice. I know that there had to be some hearers present who listened to Peter and thought to themselves, wait a minute, this is the same Peter who denied Jesus three times. You know what I'm talking about, remembering what he used to be and who he used to be. But when Peter was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he had to tell somebody about Jesus. When I was younger, I remember watching my grandmother get filled up or baptized, and then she would start rocking in her seat. And when she started rocking, I could set my watch because I knew that there was a time coming when she would stand up and say, I've got to testify. I need to tell somebody about the goodness of God. Now, she didn't have anything, but she would still testify about God's goodness. She was going through all kinds of medical problems, but God was her Savior and her Redeemer. You know, she was able to lean on it, stand on it. She knew that it was God who kept her children safe. She knew it was God who protected her grandchildren. She knew it was God who woke her up that morning. She knew it was God who allowed her to be able to make her way. She knew it was God. And she had to tell somebody about it. And at first, I didn't understand it. I have to be honest. I used to think that my grandmother was, a little different. But one day, when I decided I wanted to follow Jesus, I felt something come over me. And it wasn't like anything else I had ever felt in my life. I didn't know it then, but I can say it now because I've read my Bible a little bit. And when you go to the book of Jeremiah, you hear him say it was like fire shut up in my bones. I felt this presence fill me, and I had to tell somebody about Jesus. I felt this peace fill me, and I had to tell somebody about the one who had brought me peace. I felt this hope and this love fill me, this joy fill me, and I had to say to somebody, yes, it's Jesus that's making this happen. And I've got to say, somebody's listening today who needs to know that the translator of your circumstance is ready to teach you a new language, ready to teach you a new thing. Someone listening to this today needs to know that there is a power available that will give your life purpose and direction and meaning. And that power comes from the Holy Spirit. From the Holy Spirit. If you're lost in translation and you're ready to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you're in the right place and you're in the right space. Your translator is ready. Are you? To all I offer, shalom and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us. We hope today's message brought peace and inspiration to your week. To learn more about Park Avenue United Methodist Church, visit us online at paumcnyc.org. Grace and peace to you.